couple of Sunday evenings ago, I attempted or thought was going to be preaching this, and my mind feels and seems to be a little bit better in accomplishing the task tonight. So I will, with the Lord's help, still need Him, but just wasn't able to do it then. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Be reading just a few verses here, four verses, I believe it is. Would you bow your head with me this evening as I ask for God's special help? Our Father, songwriter penned it well, I am empty without you. We are empty without you. I pray for your touch, your filling. I pray for your anointing. I am in certain need of your touch, of your help. I pray that you would anoint our ears and hearts as well, that we would be able to hear and receive. Ultimately, the overall thing is, Father, we need your touch. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 20, verse number 8. What did I say, Genesis? Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Boy, I said my mind was in better shape, but I may have been mistaken. Remember the Sabbath day. That's not a do or a don't, is it? That's just a statement. You know, these other ones, thou shalt or thou shalt not. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Would you allow me to change the next to the last word? The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and not only did God say it is good, but He said it is holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Somebody recently said that Sunday is the day of rest from our earthly labors as we gather with our brothers and sisters in Christ to proclaim joyful praise to the King of all the earth. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that you have to go to church 2 times on Sunday. Nowhere in Scripture does it say you can't either. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that it's legalistic to go to church for 2 times on Sunday. I could go on and on with that. Nowhere in Scripture, the Scripture does say, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Is the Sabbath day sacred or secular? You may have heard this story before. George Hatch raised a large family of 7 boys and 5 girls in the sand hills of northwestern Nebraska. One Sunday morning, a neighbor rushed over to help the Hatches get the new mown hay into the barn. Clouds were rolling up in the west, and it was quite apparent that a rainstorm was imminent. "Let's get your hay up before the storm hits," exclaimed the neighbor. "Thank you for your kind offer," said Mr. Hatch, "but this is Sunday and I'm going to take my church or my family to church." "But you'll lose your hay," pleaded the neighbor. Yet the Hatches went to church, and the rainstorm did spoil the hay. "See, I told you that you would lose your hay," said the neighbor. "Yes," replied Mr. Hatch, "I'd lost my hay, but I saved my family." Now, it's doubtful that the neighbor fully understood that statement, but George Hatch saved his family. Down to the 3rd and the 4th generations, grandchildren and great-grandchildren are workers in the kingdom, laborers for God. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now that verse really doesn't mean anything to us. It really shouldn't even apply to this particular commandment, except to say, if we trust God, it's a matter of trust, you see. When we look at any one of the Ten Commandments, we are looking at a matter of trust. When we are trusting God that he meant what he said and that it's important for us, even in 2024, to follow those commandments. Oh, but we live in 2024. We're in the new dispensation. We're in the New Testament. We don't have to abide by all of those laws and all of those things that are going on. Well, I think as specific as he was in the giving of the Ten Commandments, we better reconsider how we determine the necessity of destroying those in this generation or in our day and belittle any one of them, and perhaps most importantly. Now, I'm not saying that this should have been number one. God knew what he was doing when he issued number 1, 2, 3, and 4. But there's something that is different about this particular commandment. Remember. What do we remember? What are we supposed to remember? Well, first of all, I think we need to remember that there are Sabbath days and there is the Sabbath. There are a lot of Sabbath days in the Old Testament, but there was just one Sabbath a week. The Sabbath was a day that was set aside, that was specifically looked at as a day that was separated from the things that were secular. God established the Sabbath in the very beginning of time when he created the earth. Everything was void. Everything was in chaos. Everything was a mess. And God began to speak, and God began to do. Then God formed man out of the dust of the earth. And every single time he said, "It's good." Every time at the end of the day he said it was good. But then when he established the Sabbath day, he didn't just say it was good. He says, "Remember to keep it holy." The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He blessed it and he hallowed it. Matthew Henry said that we can read 3 things here. Number 1, that God ended his work. Number 2, he rested. Number three, he sanctified, blessed, and sanctified the day. Henry said that he set a pattern in the first two and put a seal upon it with the third. He set a pattern in the first two. God ended his work and he rested. That's the pattern for the Lord's Day, for the Sabbath. But then he put a seal upon it when he blessed it and he sanctified it. Matthew Henry goes on to say, the lack of understanding in the third point is perhaps what makes the first two become confusing to people. God set a pattern of 6 days to labor, and the seventh day is a day for rest, physical rest, mental rest, spiritual rest. Spiritual rest, he said, is when the body and the mind are focused on eternity, focused on honoring God. Why should we establish this day within our own mind as a time to honor God? Well, he said that we should honor it for the sake of its antiquity. And that would be true for us because we're a long ways removed from when it was established. But just because we're a long ways removed does not minimize the value, the importance of the setting aside of this one day. He said we should also honor it for the sake of its great author. God established it. God established it. I listened to somebody recently say that he is really concerned when people find themselves at peace going against what God specifically said in his word. When they can be at peace, and he used, as an example, he used Jonah, and I think Brother Gibson even spoke about Jonah last week. I think he had some, 10 points about Jonah. One of the great points, I don't think he mentioned, one of the great points about Jonah, it only took God 2 times to get him to go to Nineveh. Maybe he did bring that out. But Jonah found himself in a position and a place of peace to where he could sleep, deliberately going against what God said. And so he's saying here, Matthew Henry is saying here, that we should honor the Lord's Day because of its great author, the sake of its antiquity and the sake of its honor of its great author. And thirdly, the sanctification of the first Sabbath by the holy God himself and by our first parents in innocency, in obedience, to him. Now, one of the first things you will hear, any one of us will hear, is that any remembrance of the Sabbath day as a sacred day, not a secular day, any comments about that there will say that it's legalistic. The fact of the matter is, anything that I don't want to do, I can call legalism. Anything you don't want to do, you can call legalism. Anything that you want to define differently in our society or culture or era that you don't want to do, easy for us to say it's legalism. But Matthew Henry specifically said that our first parents, in innocency, they did it with obedience. And then we found it common through the entirety of Scripture. Dr. George Herbert Livingston said that all that God had created was very good, but nothing was said to be holy. That which is first declared to be holy is the Sabbath portion of time. God set apart the Sabbath so that in it man might know most keenly his relationship to God. In the seventh day of creation, God made holy a day by giving it a special relationship to himself. So in the Ten Commandments, man is to make the Sabbath holy repeatedly, recognizing that he has, man, people, have a special relationship to God. According to Dr. Livingston, the Sabbath was to be placed in as just as sacred of a position as was the synagogue. Now, we still hold to a pretty sacred attitude towards the sanctuary, the house of God, the building of the church. You know, it's not hard for me to tell your children not to run up and down the aisles or in the basement, because I have a pretty good feeling that you agree that this isn't the playground. Now, if I thought you disagreed with that, I'd make it a little more difficult for me to say. But I feel like you agree with that, and it's okay for me. When you're busy visiting and I hear the doors slam, or I hear them running, or I... Let's calm down. Now, understand, it's not just your kids. It's not mine. Sorry. Well, it has been. No, kids will do that kind of stuff. But Livingston is saying that the Sabbath day is just as sacred. He finds in Scripture that it's just as sacred as what the synagogue was. Leviticus chapter 19. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. God's putting them both in the same phrase, the same category, the same picture. Now, I could spend a lot of time tonight, and maybe I shouldn't spend a whole lot of time, but I could spend a lot of time looking at what it meant for the people of God throughout the Old Testament. Let's first of all at least look at the children of Israel as they were going through the wilderness, and you know, God provided them some special meals. Now, it might not have been as tasty and as good as what I had for lunch, or what you had for lunch, or what you're fixing to have after church. Or it might have been better. It might have been better. I had chicken. What did you have? We could talk about that, huh? They had manna. Sounds delicious when you hear the theologians talking about it. How wonderful it was, the flavor, the texture. But day in and day out, it probably would have gotten bad, you know, old. And what, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days? Oh, I know, some of us can eat pizza every day, but, you know, maybe if we had to, we wouldn't want to so much. But God provided manna. And whether it was really, really good or not, just maybe just barely getting by, God said, go out and gather it in, that what you need for the day, no more and no less. Some people didn't trust God. Remember, it's a matter of trust. Some people didn't trust God, so they went out and they gathered up more because they weren't trusting that God was going to bring it tomorrow, so they wanted to get enough. Only tomorrow it began to decay, and I think it began to stink, is what it says. But then on Sunday, they had to prepare for the day before, and God told them to do what they were not supposed to do the rest of the week, and they proved it. Some of them proved it, that you couldn't do that. And now God's saying, I want you to collect enough for today and tomorrow. Do what? And so when they got up on the Sabbath, there wasn't any fresh, but when those that gathered double portion, they pulled it out and it didn't stink. It was still fresh. You see, it was important enough for God to establish in their lives early on when the Ten Commandments were given. When this principle was given, established within their mind that it was all about trust, and in trust be obedient to the command. When those that took extra, and the next day it began to stink, there was a question that was raised. How long refuse? Just bold statement. How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? You see, it was a sign of a disobedient heart. Had they had the proper education, they probably would have been saying, but God, that's legalistic. Legalism. Now, how severe, how important, how big of a transgression was it if somebody... Exodus 31, verse 14, ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall be put out of the church for an extended period of time. It's not what it was. You're going to have to live outside of the camp and without the protection of the camp and the wild beast. You'll have to deal with them on your... No, that's not what he said. It was much more severe than that. Shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but on the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. And he repeats it, he shall surely be put to death, if whosoever doth any work. Now, why was it so important? In that particular passage of Scripture, verse number 17, he gives a little bit of a deeper explanation as to why it's so valuable. And I don't believe that this has changed in our generation. Doesn't matter what you throw at me out of the New Testament to prove that the Sabbath day has been done away with. Doesn't matter. Listen to what the reasoning was, the principle that God was saying, here is a part of why. Listen to it. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. A sign between me and the children of Israel. Not only do I believe that it's still a sign between God and his people, but I believe also that it is a statement to the world that we are his. Simply because God in his authority and in his power, he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I think I said it once already, but let me say it again. Anything can be categorized as legalistic if a person doesn't have the mind for obedience. Anything. Boy, he just goes down through a number of things here. We find it in Leviticus chapter 23. We find it in Leviticus 25. Numbers 15. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said to Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. Whew. That's how important it was. If it was that important then, how is it possible that it's no longer of any importance today? How could it possibly be? Does God really change that much? Isaiah 56:2, blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it. Isaiah 58:13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath and from doing thy pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. Jeremiah 17, thus saith the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. I'm kind of wondering here at this point if the people, if humanity... Go ahead, tell me if I'm wrong, but if humanity has a tendency to drift away from the commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before thee, and within hours they had another god. Now I know that Jeremiah is writing here generations afterwards, but still we see it through the discourse of history and these prophets that it's common that humanity has a tendency to drift away from the commandments. If there's any commandment that we've drifted away from in this time, it would be perhaps this very one, remember the Sabbath day. Profane it? How can you profane it? Well, you can profane it by disobedience. Acts chapter 1, verse 12, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount of called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. You see, we find that in the Gospels a few times. New Testament. They traveled a Sabbath day journey, or they said it was about a Sabbath day journey between these two points. I know that our horse or our donkey can travel further than their horse or their donkey can travel. So I'm sure that... our Sabbath day distance is greater than what it was then. I know that my Sabbath day distance is different just between the two vehicles that I have. Quite a bit. What kind of allowances do we make and justify on the Lord's Day? Now you say, well, why? I don't want to have time to go into all of that this morning about why it's different the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, what's the deal? But we do celebrate the resurrection of Christ on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, instead of the last day as the Sabbath day. The New Testament church, the Christian church, began to celebrate the resurrection on the Lord's Day. I don't see anywhere where it says that the Sabbath day was no longer prevalent. The rules were no longer needed. It was simply a shift of the day because of the resurrection of Christ. I was talking with a pastor recently, some time ago now, I guess, a couple months. We're talking about going on vacation and things and how they like to go, and they would find a hotel. And whenever they go on vacation, they would get a hotel that had free continental breakfast as well as free evening meals. I don't know what they paid for that kind of a level of hotel. That's not the norm for me, anyway. And so they said that they do it that way so that when they stay over Sunday, they have a free meal on Sunday. I said, really? I said, well, the church gave me some gift certificates to Velma's. I can go to Velma's on Sunday. Church. And he said, well, you can't do that. That'll hurt your witness. We can justify in our minds anything that we want to justify if we're wanting to do it rather than just simply say, no, I'm not. The Bible says, manservant, maidservant. Can we translate that to say what fits in our culture today and what it would mean to us today that I'm not going to cause somebody else to work in my place? Well, what about the lights? I know we can get this thing going so far. We can carry it so distant. We can... But I'm pretty certain that if I'm going to a restaurant on the Lord's Day, they're working for me. They're working for my behalf. Could I just go so far to say if I'm flying in and out of an airport on Sunday that it's the same thing? I'm causing them. Legalistic Ziegler. Well, if that's the way you feel, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I'm not sorry that I believe that way. I'm sorry that you feel that way. Why am I so particular? It's simply because God said, and I don't see anywhere where God said you don't have to do this. That this part of the testament, this part of the commandments has changed. He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, separate, not secular, sacred. You see, I'm so legalistic that I believe that you can desecrate the Sabbath day on Saturday or Saturday night. Push, 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 work, 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 so that you're flat out exhausted and you cannot. You cannot. You're here at church, maybe. You go to church, maybe. But you're so exhausted that you cannot enjoy, you cannot participate, you cannot receive. You see, us coming to church on Sunday is just not because we want to come to church on Sunday and have our name checked on the roll. This should be a special time of relationship with God, where we do it together with God. And we share in that. And our forefathers, somewhere back there, a long time ago, said, let's do it two times on Sunday. Some of you were so caught in the tradition of two times on Sunday that when we had COVID and we were outside only coming on Sunday morning, some of you said, can we start Sunday night too? Well, maybe it's because there wasn't anything else to do during COVID, but I'd like to think that was because we want to be together. And I like that. I think that's good to set aside two times to come to church, to be at church on the Lord's day. Why is it so important? Well, if I read those four verses again out of Exodus chapter 20, it seems to me like God was wanting to have this special day set aside as a symbol of his followers in a relationship with him and be obedient to him, to follow his pattern, to remember the Sabbath day, to set it aside, and to keep it holy. Let's stand together. Trust you have a good week this week and enjoy God's blessings, presence, your celebration of Christmas, however that may unfold this week in preparation for Christmas Day. Don't forget, greet somebody at the store and wish them Merry Christmas. Call them by name if you can. Intentionally look at their name tag. Sometimes I've told them to turn it around so that I can see their name tag. Well, what for? I'm going to call you by name. Yeah, I know. I'm kind of weird like that. And no, it doesn't come natural for me. It's intentional. But let's wish people not happy holidays, but Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. They may not be allowed to initiate it. So if you do it, they can quite often. Let's enjoy Christmas season. Praise God. Praise God. James Tedrow, would you dismiss us in prayer?